Today's daf is Vavbasu daf Kuf Mem Zayin. We left off in daf Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis. Yesterday we were discussing the concept of umdina, of azlinon basar umdina, when we have the right to assume, or who holds we have the right to assume what's going through somebody's mind when they make a form of kinyan. For instance, our Mishnah spoke about a case of a shchiv mirah who gives a matana, and if we said if he gives everything away, then we assume that he's only giving it al manas, that he's actually going to die. But if he gets better, then the matana is not going to be a good matana, because we assume that he never would have given everything away had he known that he was going to get better. He only gave it away because he thought he was going to die. So the Gemara tried to identify who the Tana of our Mishnah is, who else holds that we go basar umdina. So Rav Nachman held, it was Rabbi Shimon ben Nasya, who spoke about a case of a person whose son went away, and he heard that his son died, and therefore he gave away his nechasim. So when his son comes home, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasya holds, well, we have an umdina that he never would have given away his nechasim had he known that his son was still alive. Right? Rav Sheshes, however, said that no, the Tana of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shazuri, who holds that when a person is being taken away, or a person is going on a long trip, and he says, Kisvu get le'ishti, write a get from my wife. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that we assume that he means not only write a get from my wife, but give the get to my wife as well. And we're allowed to do both. We're allowed to give and write the get, write and give the get to his wife. The Gemara then compared Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes' point of view, why each one holds that it's Dafka, the Tana that they identify, and not the Tana that the other guy identified. So we said Rav Nachman Dafka identified Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya about the son being the one who says we go Basar Umdina, and not Rabbi Shimon Shazuri about the get, because by Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, he at least said kisvu. When he says kisvu, so what do you think he wants you to write it for? Just for his health? He wants you to... No, when he says kisvu, obviously it means to write it as well. So that's not only a situation of umdina. And Rav Sheshes didn't want to say that it was Rabbi Shimon Menasya about the case of the son, because he thought that was such a clear umdina that obviously you wouldn't give away all of your nechasim if you thought you had a child. Obviously he thought his son was dead. There's no debating that issue. So since it's such a clear umdina, that kind of umdina, there's nothing to debate. Of course, on that kind of umdina, we're going to go basar umdina. So that's where we left off. So says the Gemara, we have three lines from the bottom, last row on the line. Man tana lahadutan rabbanan. Who's the author of the following brisa? Haresha yichalo mutal b'mita. Guy is sick and he's in bed. Va'amru lo, and they said to him, okay, look, you're sick. It looks like you're on your way out. Nechsayich l'mi. So who do you want your nechasim to go to? Va'amru lahen, and he said, doma shiyesh li ben. He said, I always thought that I had a son. Achshav she'ein li ben, or either means I always thought I had a son, or I always thought I would have a son. But achshav she'ein li ben, now that I don't have a son, meaning my lifelong dream of having a child was never fulfilled. So nechasai leploni. So then my nechasim therefore should go to the next best thing, this guy, whoever it is, my best friend, my nephew, whatever it might be. If a guy was sick and he was dying and they said to him, who do you want your nechasim to go to? Amrlan, he said, Doma she ishtimu beres. I always thought my wife would be pregnant. Akshav she ein ishtimu beres. Now that it turns out my wife is not pregnant, nechasai leploni, my nechasim should go to so and so. And then, v'noda sheyesh lo ben, oshay se'ishtomu beres. As luck would have it, as it turns out he did have a son. He had fathered a child that he was unaware of. Or, it turns out his wife was pregnant, she wasn't showing yet, whatever it was. He didn't realize at the time of death that his wife was in fact pregnant. Ein matanasa matana. Then the matana, to whoever he is giving that matana to, whoever else he identified to receive that matana instead of his son, instead of the fetus, is not going to be a good matana. So says the Gemara, Leim Rabbi Shimon Menasya v'lo Rabbanan. So maybe that's dafka going like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Menasya. Again, Rabbi Shimon Menasya is the one who Rav Nachman identified as the one who says you could go basar umdina. The exact case of Rabbi Shimon Menasya was actually very similar. It was also about a son, except it was a son that he knew had a existed, he just assumed the son had died, right? In this case, it's a son that he didn't know even existed. So should we say that it's going like Rav Shimon Menasya and not like the Rabbanan? This brisa does not fit with Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, nah, filu tem Rabbanan. This brisa fits fine with the Rabbanan as well. Doma shiny. The guy said explicitly, Doma. He said, you know why I'm giving it to Ploni? Because I always thought I had a son. It turns out I don't. So he said explicitly why he's doing it. It's not an issue of Umdanov reading his mind. He's telling us what's going through his mind. So in such a case, where he's telling us what's going through his mind, then there's no question that the kinyan is only al-manas that that the guy actually has a child, does not have a child. Of course, domeshaini. I mean, you know, what would the hava mean to be otherwise? It's explicit. The guy says, I thought I had a son, that's why I'm giving it, but I don't have a son, and that's why I'm giving it to so-and-so. So of course, that's going to be different when he says so explicitly. Answers the Gemara, no. Mal detem etzari hudukamatker, kamash malan. I might have thought that when he says, I always thought I would have a son, it turns out I don't have a son, I would have thought that that's just a way of him expressing his anguish over the fact that he never had a family, that he never had a child. But not that the kinyan hinges on whether or not he has a son. The kinyan is a totally separate issue. So kamash malan, that he's making it clear that the kinyan hinges on whether or not he has a son. He's not just expressing his tsar. The Or Sameach writes in Hilchos Sechiyu Matana, Periches Halacha Zayin, that let's say his wife miscarries. I mean, it turns out his wife was pregnant, then she has a miscarriage. Or his son dies before he dies. It turns out at the time he said that he did have a son, and then his son dies. So he says, Yar Sameach, the matana is still not chal. It's still not going to be a good matana. The matana anyway would only be chal la'achar misa, and by the time he dies, the son is already dead. So isn't that the same thing as not having a son at all? So he says, no. At the time of the tzava'a, the son was alive, the wife was pregnant. So that's, you know what that's compared to, says Yar Sameach? It's like a person who gets up, it's like a shchiv mera, who gives a gift, gives away all of his nechasim, then he gets better, and then he gets sick again. So it doesn't go to the person he had identified in the first place. Once he gets better, so it's his again. The whole matana is off. So over here as well, the whole matana would be off. However, the Shar Mishpat points out, that's only if he knew that's only if it was known to him before he died that he had a son or that his wife was pregnant. If he never knew before he died that he had a son or his wife was pregnant, then it's not considered. And then his son did die, or then his wife miscarried. Then it's not considered as if the kinyan was undone. The kinyan is only undone if he actually knows about it before he dies, or if the status quo stays that the son is alive or that the wife remains pregnant. Okay, so that's the part that the Achronim point out over here. Now the main topic of our daf is going to be the concept of matna shchiv mira. We've been talking about it a lot. The concept of a shchiv mira giving something and a shchiv mira not requiring kinyanim and all the rest. We're going to discuss where that comes from. Is it in daraisa? Is it in darabanan? Right. That's going to be the main topic of our daf. So says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav. Minayin lematna shchiv mira shi min haTorah. How do we know that matna shchiv mira is min haTorah? What about matna shchiv mira min haTorah? So says Rashbam. Minayin lematna shchiv mira shekona bedibor below kinyan sudar. That a matna shchiv mira, you don't need a formal kinyan sudar. Words alone make the kinyan happen. Kigon mitzava machmas misa depaskinin lekaman delo bayi kinyan afilu bemiktsas. Mahudemis, that it doesn't require a kinyan so long as he dies. Inami shchiv mira shechala kol nechasav below shiur umis. Or it could be that we're talking about the shchiv mira of our Mishnah, where you give away all of your nechasim and then you die. So that's a valid matana even without an actual formal kinyan. But that's the point. That's what we want to know. How do we know that a shchiv mira has special rights and privileges that he's able to give a matana without a form of kinyan? How do we know that that works mida o raisa? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities, four sources to suggest that it works mida o raisa. Number one, or that it works. We'll see if they're all mida o raisa. Number one, shenemar pasuk says va'avartem es nachlasa lebito. The pasuk says that the nachla will go instead over to his daughter. What's it talking about? It's talking about a man who dies uben ein lo, and he doesn't have a son. Then instead you give your ma'avir the nachla to the daughter. Yesh There is another havara, another passing over of Yerusha that's similar to this. What's that? That's a reference to Matna Shchiv Mira. Where do we see from this pasuk Matna Shchiv Mira? It just says this doesn't have a son, so let the nachla go to the daughter. What does that have to do with Matna Shchiv Mira? So Rashbam has several interpretations. If you look at Rashbam, Shnema Vavartim is Nachlaso, Davi Matzi the Michtav Ish Ki Yamos Hu Ben Ein Lo Nachlaso Lebito. Pasuk could have said, man dies, doesn't have a son, Nachla goes to his daughter. Why does it have to say Vahavartim? That's extra. Vahavartim yaseiruhu. So that's what we're darshaning from. Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish midichsiv es nachlaso. Es ribuyahu. Right? That's the old discussion about whether we're Doresh Esim. Shimon HaMasuni, right, was Doresh Kolasim Shabbatorah Ad Shabbat, right, until he got to Es HaShem El Kechatira, and he said, I can't darshan that Es, because what could you equate with Kodesh Baruch Hu Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, and right, and said that, no, you can darshan the Es HaShem El Kechatira, the Rabbis Tabi Lichamim. So once we see Lamaskan, you can darshan an Es, so says Rashbam, Rabbeinu Chananel, apparently the Es in the Pasuk is what we're darshaning there. It's coming to be Marbis, something else, not only Mavir Nachla Lebito, but when you don't have a son, but another Avaris Nachla. Says Rashbam, however, I don't agree with that. Veloni Hira, Da Amrini Lekamanayimi Bayile Lichad Tanya Rebbe Yomar V'chulei, Vavartem Dorish V'lo Dorish Es Alma Le'el Nami Dorish Idach Miloshen Avara. He says, we're going to see clear in the Gemara that the focus is not on the Es, the focus is on Vavartem. We'll see it soon in the Gemara. V'istim Afarshin, there's a third pshat. Midishani Krabbe Dibure, Dematzi L'michtav V'nasatem, Kidichsev V'inach. It could have said in the satem, why vavartim? It's not that the word vavartim is extra, nor is it the S, it's that the word vavartim is an unusual choice of words. It should have said in the satem instead of vavartim. That's the third pshat. Veloni hira, says Rashbam, veloni hira nami hai lishna. I don't like this pshat either. Tahu nesatim nami chashin miyusar ba'osa sugya. The word nesatim is also considered to be an extra word. Tachi avle l'michtav ish ki yamusu b'nein lo, nachlasa l'bito. V'mein lo bas, nachlasa l'achiv. Right, it says, v'mein lo bas, what does the pasuk say? And if he doesn't have a daughter, unesatim is nachlasa l'achiv. Well, couldn't it have just said nachlas al yachiv? It's all extra. Vavartim is extra, nesatim is extra, v'chim kulam. Hilkach vavartim unesatim yusarim heim kenir be'enai. Both vavartim and unesatim are extra words. And that's what we're really darshaning. So basically, Rashbam says, what's the real pshat over here? We're darshaning from Vavartim the fact not that Vavartim is an unusual choice of words. It's not the S. It's the fact that we need the word Vavartim at all. It's an extra word. And therefore, we darshan that there's another Havara that's like this, that just like the daughter receives below Kinyan, there's someone else who's going to be able to receive below Kinyan. And that is, Matna Shchiv Mira, whenever he gives it to anybody, he does not require a Kinyan to strengthen his Nesina. Fine. Says the Gemara number two, Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, second pshat of where we know Matna Shchiv Mira min HaTorah, Mehacha, Pasuk says, Unesatim es nachlas al yachiv, that if he doesn't have a daughter, a son or a daughter, then you give the nachla to the brother. Yesh lecha nesina acheres shikazu. Apparently, there's some other nesina, and again, according to the Rashbam, we're darshaning that the whole word unesatim is extra. Just say main lo bas nachlas al yachiv. Why do you have to say nesatim is nachlas al yachiv? So it must be that there's some other there's someone else who can receive without a kinyan aside from his sons, his daughter, and his brother. Vezo, and who is that? Zumat Neshkivmira, that's a reference to Zumat Neshkivmira. So before we move on to the third and fourth interpretations, the Gemara first compares the first two. Rav Nachman, my time, alomer mi va'avartem. Why did Rav Nachman not want to say from the word va'avartem? Why does he have to go to the end of the pasuk unesatem instead of darshaning from the extra word va'avartem? Answers the Gemara, only by the Rebbe. He already needed Vavartim to teach us the din of Rebbe. Titania, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Bukul Nemra ben Nesina, Vika Nemra Avara, Viola, the Rushas uses the Lashon of Nesina, and over here it uses the Lashon of Havara. Why the unusual Lashon? Ein Lacha Shemavir Nachla Mishavit, Lashavit al Bas, Hol Ubno, Baila Yarshinosa. That teaches us that the only one who could bring a Nachla from one Shevet to another Shevet is a daughter. Well, how can a daughter take a Nachla from one shevet and bring it to another shevet? Well, her son and her husband yarshin her. So since a son and a husband are not necessarily from the same shevet that she came from, so that way she's going to be mavir the nachla from one shevet to the other shevet. So that's where Rav Nachman doesn't go to the beginning of the pasuk where it says vavartem. He goes to the end of the pasuk where it says unesatem to learn the din of matna shchiv mira. Vavartem we already used to teach us the din of havaras nachla al yedei habas. Rabbi Zeira my time alone in the Satem. Why does Rabbi Zeira not want to learn from the Satem? So the answer is Gemara Uchidikrahu, because there's nothing unusual about Unisatem. I mean, you want to say it's extra? It's normal for the Torah to use clear Lashonos, and Unisatem is the clearest possible Lashon. So that doesn't mean that it's an extra word that demands a drasha. It's the clearest way to say that. Yes, we could have figured it out without the word Unisatem. If it just would have said Nachalos Aliyachiv, we would have figured it out, but it's not the clearest way to say it. So the Torah wants to say it in the normal way for the Torah to say it is in very clear terms. Fine. So those are the first two pshatim. Now notice, what do the first two pshatim have in common? Number one, they're from the same exact parsha, but they're both in the Torah. They're both in the Chumash. Where else might we learn the concept of matnas shkimra from? So the Gemara has two more pshatim. Rav Menashe bar Yirmiyah Amar Mehachar. Rav Menashe bar Yirmiyah says from the following pasuk, a pasuk in Sefer Melachim Beis. Vayam mehem chalach Chizkiyahu lamus. Chizkiyahu was dying. Vayavo elav Yishayahu ben Amoz Hanavi, and Yishayahu ben Amoz came to him. Vayomre elav ko amar Hashem. So says God, sav lebeischa ki meisata. Take care of your affairs, get your house in order, because you're going to die. Velo tichya, you will not live. So you see, but tzava bialma, what does it take to get his affairs in order? Sav lebeischa. Tell people what to do. All you have to do is say, and that's it. Meaning words alone will make the kinyan happen. So from that we see the concept of matnas shchiv mira. Rami bar Yecheskel mer mehecha. Rami bar Yecheskel quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. What's the pasuk about? Vachitof al ra kilonasa atzaso v'yachvash eschamar v'yelech lebeiso aliro v'yitzav al beiso v'yichanek. It's again, Bitzava Bialma. What happened to Achitofel? Achitofel was helping in the rebellion against David. Achitofel was a brilliant advisor. Such a brilliant advisor that when David wanted to pray that the rebellion should not be successful, what was his tefillah? That the advice of Achitofel should not be followed. Because David knew that if the advice of Achitofel is followed, then he's in trouble. And in fact, the advice of Achitofel was not followed, and that's what caused the downfall of the rebellion. That's what caused the failure of the rebellion, right? Because where Achitofel said, go on a surprise attack right now, but the other advisor said, no, wait for reinforcements when you have more, and that gave David extra time to run away. It was the failure to follow Achitofel's advice that put down the rebellion. Achitofel realized his advice was not being followed. As soon as he realized his advice was not being followed, he said, okay, this is never going to work. They're never going to be successful, and then I'm going to be a Marid B'Malchus. It's going to turn out that I rebelled against David, and I'm going to get killed anyway. I'd rather kill myself. So he went and he killed himself. Now, why would he rather kill himself? So not just because it's embarrassing. It used to be that if you were married by Malchus and you were killed, your family wouldn't get your Yerusha. He wanted to keep his... He was very careful to try to make sure that his family got his stuff. In fact, that's what the pasuk emphasized. Vayitzav el beso. He said exactly who he wants to get what. But again, the drush over here is that it's a lashon sava. All it says is that he said. It doesn't say that he did anything, that he did any formal act of kinyan. So you see, even without a formal act of kinyan, when it comes to Shkiv Mira, the Matan is going to be binding, even absent a formal act of Kinyan. Now, so we have four sources in the Gemara for Matan Shkiv Mira. Two of them are from the Chumash, two of them are from Navi. Says Tosos, Tap Tosos, Minayin the Matan Shkiv Mira Shu Min HaTorah. Lav Min HaTorah Dafka Ka'amar. Doesn't really mean Daraisa. The Rav Nachum Gufei is the Kamandainik, Shal Torah Vasu'uch, Shal Torah El Smachta Bialmuhu, De Ka'amar. It means Nasmachta. It doesn't really mean it's Din Daraisa. If it's not really Daraisa, it's only Nasmachta anyway. Isn't it strange that the Gemara compares, why do you say from the word Vavartem and not Unisatem? Why do you say from Unisatem not Vavartem? What difference does it make? It's just Nasmachta anyway. So he says, Pirush Maitaim Elo Mapaka Smachta Dideimina Vavartem. Yeah, the Gemara is saying, why would you take Unisatem as your cue to make a Nasmachta and not Vavartem, and vice versa? You may wonder, isn't that unusual to ask why you would take an asmachta from one word and not the other? Because after all, what difference does it make where you get the asmachta from? It's not so unusual. The Gemara has an example in Masechet Moed Katan where it does the same thing. Even though we're dealing with Din Darabanan over there as well, the Gemara says, why do you learn it from here and not from there? Meaning, we're allowed to compare which psukim you get an asmachta from. Now, why? Why does that make sense, though? Why would you have this comparison of dafka being careful about which pasuk you learn an asmachta from? So this is probably an indication that Tosos is in agreement with the sheet of the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin. The Ritva, a very well-known Ritva, Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin, describes what asmachta is all about. Right? How do you describe? How do you? What's the translation of the word asmachta? So typically, people translate mnemonic. It's an easy way to remember. Is it what the Torah meant? Nah, it's just an easy way to remember a din. Right? An easy way to remember a din d'rabbanan by using words that we're familiar with because those words exist in the Torah. But it doesn't really mean anything. Says the Ritva, that's incorrect. By the way, that is the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam holds that way in Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis, that an asmachta is nothing more than a mnemonic. Says the Ritva, Shekol mashgiyesh la'asmachta min ha'pasuk, Hey, Rakadosh Baruch Hu, Sharoi Lasos Kain. El Shaloka V'Chova, Masul Cham V'Zed Davar Bar V'Emes. He says, whenever there's an asmachta in the pasuk, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu hinting to the Rabbanan, here's where I want you to make a din. Meaning, and therefore, a din d'rabbanan with an asmachta is stronger than a din d'rabbanan without an asmachta. Not just because we were able to find some mnemonic in the pasuk. No, that wouldn't make it stronger. What makes it stronger is that we assume it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu winking to us, telling us, here, I want you to make the din over here. I'm leaving you, makom minichalom min hashamayim, for you to go and make your own din, but I want you to make it. V'lo kidevrei mafarshim, says the Ritva, not like those who explain asmachta shukidar simin shanasun cham v'lo shekvanas ha-tara l'ka. That it's just a mnemonic made up by the rabbis. Chas v'shalom! Yishtaka adover v'lo yomar shezu das minuzu! He says, that's apikorsus! You're saying that the Torah is chaser, that the Torah doesn't have the ability to hint to multiple levels of meaning. It's the Torah telling us to make such a din. And that's why the Chacham spend so much time making asmachtas. It's not because they need to make mnemonics. They have simanim to make mnemonics. We have that also. But if they want to make an asmachta, they spend a lot of time figuring out the asmachta, because they assume that it's Torah Tamima, that the Torah is complete, Chas V'Shalom, the Sheikh Haseru Klum, it's not missing anything, and the Torah is giving us the hints as to when to make these Dinim D'Rabbanan. That is the sheet of the Ritva. The Maral in Baragola has a very similar idea. He says, Rabim Toim Shesovim Lomar Kiyen Losa Mitzvah Klal Shominin Ala Torah. He says, it's a mistake to think that it has nothing to do with the Torah, and it's just a Melitzas Chachamim, and Asmachta. He says, no, an Asmachta is in fact very strong. Sounds a lot like Tosus over here. That when we deal, even when dealing in the world of asmachtas, we could ask, why do you have an asmachta from this pasuk, not that pasuk? Why that pasuk, not this pasuk? However, not everyone agrees to Tosfos in terms of his application over here. Tosfos says that all these pasukim are only asmachtas. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, we're dealing with real dinim d'oraisa over here. We're dealing with legitimate dinim d'oraisa. This isn't only an asmachta from a pasuk. The Tosa Rush writes, now what about the fact that we quote Pesukim in Nevi'im? If we're dealing with real Dinim D'Oraisa, Tosa Rush assumes like Rabbeinu Yonah that it's real Dinim D'Oraisa. What about the fact that we're quoting Pesukim from Nevi'im? So he says, Yesh Lomar Sheba'emes Kiblu Kein Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It must have been that it is a din d'oraisa, not from a pasuk, but from halacha l'moshe misinai, and then come the Nevi'im, and they attached it to a pasuk. They took the halacha l'moshe misinai, and they put a pasuk to that halacha l'moshe misinai. Very often you have that. Although divrei kabbalah may not have the status of d'oraisa, very often the Nevi'im took the traditions that they had as halacha l'moshe misinai, and attached those traditions to psukim. They composed psukim to relate to those traditions, and therefore those dinim are actually dinim d'oraisa. They are not dinim d'rabbanan at all. So fine. So those are our four sources for knowing that matna shkivmra is min haTorah, whatever that means. According to Tosos, asmachta min haTorah, and within that you have two possibilities: what asmachta min haTorah means, a pure d'rabbanan like the Rambam, or God winking to the Rabbanan telling them to make this din, or like Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosos Rush saying that no, it's not an asmachta, it's a real bona fide legitimate din d'oraisa. Once we're on the subject of Achitofel, and we mentioned that Achitofel had rebelled against David right before he killed himself, he was mitzaval beso. So says the Gemara, sixth wide line on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan. Shlosha Dvarim Tziva Achitofel Esbanav. Achitofel advised his children three things before he died. Number one, al tiyu b'machlokas. He said, don't be in a machlokas. Number two, al timrudu b'malchus beis David. Do not rebel against the malchus beis David. Meaning, I've tried that and didn't work out. Number three, yom tov shel atzeres barur zaru chitim. If you see that it's clear on Shavuos, you have clear weather on Shavuos, then you should plant wheat. Now, what's the meaning of all this? So first of all, al tiyu b'machlokas. The Achronim Medayik, the Marsha, points out that it doesn't say al tachloku. Don't get involved. Don't have any machlokas in. It says al tihiyu b'machlokas. Marsha says that means don't be the cause of a machlokas. If there's a machlokas, you're allowed to have an opinion. Don't be the cause of a machlokas. Pnei Shlomo of Shlomo Ganzfried says no. Al tihiyu b'machlokas is much stronger. It doesn't just mean don't be the cause. Al tihiyu b'machlokas means that it's normal and it's natural for every human being to be involved in machlokas at some point in their lives. And obviously, sometimes we have a hard time controlling ourselves and we get angry, and it's going to happen that there's going to be machlokas. To have a chalom that you're going to go through life without machlokas is wrong. It's not going to happen. There's going to be machlokas. But when there is machlokas, al tihiyu b'machlokas. Don't keep the machlokas going. Don't perpetuate the machlokas. Don't allow the machlokas to sit and to be there for longer than necessary. Get over it. End it after some time. Work your way through the machlokas. Don't perpetuate the machlokas. And that is, in fact, I was just listening yesterday, the OU just did a marriage survey. They had like 3,000 respondents, Orthodox Jewish marriages. They're trying to figure out the health of Orthodox Jewish marriages and how it compares to marriages in general. And one of the things Dr. Pelkovitz, when he was speaking about it, said was that the psychologists all say that that you need machlokas in marriage, that it's actually unhealthy for a marriage if there's never any machlokas, that if there's never any so whatever, there are no two people are exactly the same. So there are definitely disagreements. They either come out or they stay underneath. So it will come out, and it's healthy for it to come out. The point is, though, al tihiyu b'machlokas, that when there's going to be a machlokas, good, your opinion, my opinion, done, whatever, you know, we know what each other hold, and we work our way through it, and we figure out a way to compromise, or whatever, or amodity, whatever it is, don't let it perpetuate, don't let it sit, don't let it stay there for longer than it has to. That's the key. The key is to work our way through any sorts of machlokasim that a person might have. Very, very profound insight. Anyway, so that's number one. Then he says, al timrudu b'malchus beis David, don't rebel against the malchus beis David, and number three, with the wheat. So the Maral points out, Maral says so beautifully, he says there is no education like the one provided by the University of Experience, right? Maral has such a, doesn't say exactly in those Lashonos, but he says that Ein Chacham Gadol Yoser Mibal HaNisayon. There's no greater chacham than someone who's been through it already and sees what happens when you have machlokas. Meaning, what was Achitofel doing? He says, I was involved in machlokas. I was involved in the rebellion against David. So he says, don't be involved in the machlokas. And to emphasize that point, he says, don't be involved in anything that causes machlokas. Meaning, he starts advising them about wheat. What is it about wheat? So it's a well-known Gemara. The Gemara B'Metzia Daf Nuntesa Medalef says that a person should always be zahir b'tvua b'toch beso. Make sure there's food in your house. Why? She'ein meriva mitzuyu b'toch beso shalodam el aliskei tvua. When there's fighting in the house, very often it's because of problems in parnasa. So he was advising them, make sure that you take care of your families. Make sure your parnasa is b'kavod, that you're able to take care of your families, because very often that's a cause of machlokas. And he says, and just in case you do come to machlokas, make sure shelo yimrdu b'malchus beis David, that dafka the malchus beis David is the ones who are in charge of ensuring our shalom, and therefore David was the one given the malchus. Don't be worried against him, because we all three pieces of advice were all about shalom. They were all about maintaining a sense of shalom. That's what the Maral says. Furthermore, the Maral says another possibility, that these three tzava'os are connected, the three levels of shalom that a person needs. Number one, we need shalom bayis. So he said, ziru chitim, that will bring you shalom bayis. Plant wheat, have food around the house, that will cause shalom bayis. Number two, shalom bein ish l're'ehu michutz l'bayis. Peace amongst man outside of the house. And that's al tiyuv machlokas. Number three is shalom of the nation in general, that the Jewish people should not be attacked by others and should be safe and should be protected. And that's what he says, don't be worried against the malchus beis David. David's a warrior. David protects us. The other nations are only able to be put down because we have a malchus beis David. So don't be worried against the malchus beis David. If you want a sense of shalom between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. And just one more pshat, The Ben Yoyada, unbelievable Ben Yoyada, says the connection between the three things is as follows: that the machlokas Achitofel against David was because Achitofel was maharer achre David, because David was baal eshes ish, and she was asur to him. So David Amelech, so Achitofel, that was the premise of Achitofel's rebellion, right? That David Amelech was slept with an eshes ish. Now the mice with Basheva. Now David Amelech was born in Shavuos and died in Shavuos. So the Achronim say that's why we read Megillah Rus on Shavuos, to emphasize that Megillus Rus was written for the Yichus of David HaMelech. It was written to show us that Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, and David HaMelech's Yichus is okay, and since he was born on Shavuos, we read Megillus Rus. And therefore, when he died on Shavuos, what does that tell us? If he died on the same day that he was born, tells us he was a tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu's memali shnosav shel tzaddikim miyom liyom. So that's when they realize he's a tzaddik gomur. That it's only on tzaddikim gomurim that get to live. They get to die on the same day they were born. So it turns out that it was on Shavuos that they recognized that David's maisel with Bathsheba was not really a sin, and it became clear that Shlomo Melech, who was born from Bathsheba, would be the one to be Melech b'mukomo, would be the one that would actually become the Melech in his place, because Shlomo HaMelech deserved it. Shlomo HaMelech was not tainted in any way. And that's why he says to Achitofel, that's what Achitofel is saying. Al tiyu b'machlokas, don't be involved in machlokas like I was with David, because I was maharer acharav, I was suspicious of him for doing an aver with Bathsheba. And al yedei kach, by not being in machlokas, don't be murdered against the Malchus based David when you see that his son Shlomo takes over for him, because his son Shlomo deserves to take over for him. And Yom Tov Shal Atzeres Barer, meaning that if you're not sure whether his son Shlomo should take over for him, look at the Yom Tov Shal Atzeres, look at the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and see that Shlomo Melch should take over for him, because it was on the Yom Tov of Shavuos that David died, that was also his birthday, that we knew that David was a tzaddik and we can't be Maharer Achrav, and that's what established the lineage of the Malchus based David. That's how all three come together according to the Ben Yoyada. That's a beautiful part of the Ben Yoyada. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. We are up to the 7th or 8th wide line on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So 8th wide line. Marzutra Amar. Marzutra says no, he wasn't telling them Barur, he wasn't telling them that when Yom Tov Shel Atzeres is a clear day that you should plant wheat. Rather, Marzutra Amar Balul Itmar, when it's cloudy. Amin Ardai Mishmid Rabbi Yaakov Lo Bar Bar Mamish Lo Balul Balul Mamish. Clear doesn't mean clear, cloudy doesn't mean cloudy. El Afilu Balul Vruach Tzvonus Menasheve Zehu Barur. If it's cloudy but there's a northern wind blowing, that's the same as a clear day. Amle Rabbi Abel Ravashi Anana Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Masinula. I learned this in connection with the statement of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Dam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Motzai Yom Tov Achron Shechag HaKol Tzofin La'ashon HaMarecha. On the last day, the Motzai of the last day of Sukkot, everyone looks to the Ashana Maracha, to the smoke coming up from the Maracha. The Maracha was the pile of wood that was burnt on the Mizbeach, right? The first thing that they did in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash, if you learn Maseches Tamid, right? The first thing they did in the morning after the Trumas Hadeshen, which wasn't really an Avoda, but Trumas Hadeshen was the very first thing they would do in the morning, of taking a shovel full of ashes off the Mizbeach from the night before and putting it down next to the Mizbeach. Then the other Kohanim would come and they would bring these huge logs of wood up to the top of the Mizbeach. In the right up the ramp, they'd make a right and put down all the logs of wood right in that corner of the Mizbeach, and they would light the fire. They would light those, well, first they would put some logs on the other side also for the Marach Shel Ketores, Marach Shnia, Shel Ketores, that's why it's called Marach Shnia, the second Marach, the second fire they had going on the Mizbeach. But the Maracha was that they would light them both on fire. They would light these logs on fire and burn things that needed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, on that Maracha. So everyone would look at the Ashana Maracha, the smoke ascending from the Maracha. Not the Klapet Tzafon, if it was leaning toward the north, Aniyim Smechamu Balibatim Atzevin. The Aniyim would be happy, and the Balibatim were sad. Because that meant that there was going to be a lot of rain that year, and therefore the Peros aren't going to last that long, so the Balibatim are going to have to get rid of their Peros. Where are they going to get rid of so many Peros so quickly? There's going to be a lot for the Aniyim to eat. So the Aniyim were very happy about that. Not the Klape Darum, if the smoke went a little bit toward the south, Aniyim Atzevim with Balibatim Smechim. The Aniyim were sad and the Balibatim were happy. Why? Supply demand. Not so much rain, therefore the Peros would last a longer time. They'll be able to sell it for a longer time. They'll make more money. The Aniyim were sad. No one's going to be giving away Peros for free. Not to Klape Mizrach, Hakol Smech. And if it faced toward the east, everyone was happy. Klape Marav, faced toward the west, Hakol Atzev, and everyone was sad. Or Reminhi, Frakli Gemara, I'll ask you a stira. Mizrach is the Olam Yafeh, that an eastern wind is always good. Marav is the Olam Kasha, western wind is always bad. Ruach Tzfonis, a northern wind, Yafeh Lechitim, is good for the wheat. B'shah Shei V'yushlish, as long as they've grown one third of their growth, B'kasha L'zeisim, B'shah Shei Yonitzu. And they're bad for the olives if they've already started to sprout. V'ruach dromis kasha l'chitin. The ruach dromis is bad for wheat. B'shah shei v'yishlish v'yafal azeisim b'shah shei anitzu. V'am Rav Yosef v'yitem emar zutra v'yitem Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'simenayich. The way to remember this is shulchan b'tzafon u'menorah b'darom. The shulchan is in the north. The menorah is in the south. The menorah represents oil, right? Because that's what they would light the menorah with. The shulchan represents wheat. Because what would you put on the shulchan? Lechem apanim. Lechem apanim, obviously, made with flour that's made from wheat. So, haimar bididei, v'haimar bididei. So we say the north grows its item, meaning the shulchan, which is in the tzafon, helps for wheat, because wheat is represented by the shulchan, and the south, which is the menorah, helps for oil, because the menorah represents oil, right? This is not the only time in this Masechta that we've had symbolism of the Shulchan and the menorah. In the second parak of the Masechta, right, we had that Harotz Lahachkim Yadrin, that the menorah also represents wisdom, and therefore if you want to become wise, you face south toward the menorah. Harotz Lahashir Yatspin. You want to become wealthy, you face the north when you daven, because the Shulchan is in the north, and the bread also represents wealth. But anyway, so now we see an additional meaning to it, that it represents olives and wheat, respectively. So says the Gemara, so bottom line, we have a kasha over here, that we have a stira of what's good and what's not good. So says the Gemara, lo kasha, halan v'halahu. One is for Bnei Bavel, one is for Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashbam, what's for what? What's better for Bnei Bavel? What's better for Bnei Eretz Yisrael? Halan, l'Bnei Bavel ha-shochnim b'matzula v'artzeinu meluchleches, v'ein etzrich l'matar kolkach. Bavel doesn't need too much rain. L'didan misni a-braisa b'sraisa shemarav is kasha. That's what we have, the second braisa that tells us that the west, that the western wind is bad, because it causes more rain than we need, the Bnei Bavel, for people in Bnei Bavel. Umizrachis Yafeh, but the eastern wind is going to be good for the Bnei Bavel. Ubraisa Kamaisa, but the previous Braisa that said the opposite. Demisnia Ibcha that said the opposite, that said that Mizrachis is bad and Maravis is good, that's Lahu. That's for them. Lebnei Eretz Yisrael, Sha'artzam Gavoh, Tzrichim Lematar Harbe, because it's an elevated land and therefore it needs a lot of rain. It's at a high elevation, so it requires a lot of rain. So that's Halan Vahalahu, a difference between the Bnei Bavel and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, Tanya. Three lines from the bottom. Abishal Omer Yamtov Shalatzer is Barusim in Yafel Lekol Hashana Kula. If Shavuos is a clear day, that's a good sign for the whole year. Amras Vid Hayom Akama Derei Shasa Ichamim Kula Shasa Chamima Ikaru Kula Shasa Karira. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, that's where you're looking for your simanim. If it's a hot day on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's going to global warming. It's going to be a hot day. It's going to be a hot year that year. If it's cold on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then it's going to be a cold year that year. L'may nafkamina. Anyone remember? Was it cold? Was it particularly cold this Rosh Hashanah? It's been a particularly cold winter. I don't know. So l'may nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? What do you meaning? Why does it matter? That's really what we need to be paying attention to on Rosh Hashanah. Is it hot or cold? So says Gemara, no, the tefilos shel kohen gadol, it is nafkamina. When the kohen gadol is mispal, where should he gear his tefilos? If you look at Tosfos on the top, the tefilos shel kohen gadol, sheyispal shim chama lo tiyah chama yoser midai, that he should daven that if it's hot, that it should, the heat shouldn't be unbearable to the point that that it causes problems. Vim karira lo tiyah karira yoser midai, and if it's going to be cold, he should daven that the cold shouldn't be too extreme. Right, there are many ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it colder, if you can, or hotter. Let's say the average temperature throughout the year is 55 degrees, so he could make it that it's it hovers between 40 and 80 the whole year, or he could make it that when he wants to make a particularly hot, not that it hovers between 40 and 80, but it a little more on the warmer side, but that he makes it 120 degrees for a week, and people will die. So you want it to be in a more pleasant way, that it's going to be a hotter year than normal, and in a more pleasant way, that it'll be a colder year than normal. So that's what the Kohen Gadol has to know, how to gear his tefillos. The Rav Amar Rav Nachman, back to the conversation of Matnas Shchiv Mira, which again is the primary topic of the daf. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Matnas Shchiv Mira midrabban bialmihi shema titrof daito alav. Now the whole concept of Matnas Shchiv Mira is only a din drabanan, and why did they make this din drabanan? Because we're afraid titrof daito alav. We're afraid that if we don't have the concept of Matnas Shchiv Mira, that a person when he says he wants his nechassim to go to Ploni, that it will go to that person. We're afraid that he's going to get too upset for a dying man. What does it mean he's going to get too upset? So says Rashbam, first of all, how can you just say it's a drabban? We had four psukim in Amud Aleph that identified the concept of Matnas Shchiv Mira. So says Rashbam, V'kray delel etza tova kamash milan. The previous psukim, that was just good advice. She yitzavu lebeso b'shas misaso. Mashi yeshu letzavos. Hein ali de kinyin, hein ali de dibor. And he says, all those psukim were either good advice, get your affairs in order, and when it indicates to us that you only need to be mitzvah, that words alone work, yeah, that's not referring to kinyanim. It's not referring to what you're giving to who. Words alone work when we're talking about when you're telling your children, I owe money to this guy, that guy owes me money. Those are words, that's important information for your children. But it's not about a kinyan. The kinyan of Matnas Shchiv Mira, that's not a din d'oraisa. Elamid Rabbanim bi'alma kona. Why? Gzeira shema achi yavo edim liknos titrof daito shalchol akodim shiavo v'luyuch lahakmo zunzis tzavasol batela. Says Rosh Hashanah, tremendous chiddush. You know what it means, Shema Titrof Taito? That if you force him to make a kinyan, you're going to need Edim, and by the time Edim come to make the kinyan in front of the Edim, the chala may be gone already. Meaning he may not have the das to be able to do the kinyan. And then he'll never get done what he wanted to get done. So as a favor to him, when he has Daito Tzlula, when he's of clear mind, we let him just say what he says, and we let that take the place of a kinyan. However, Ashram says, V'kashali, Mabekachim tivatal na'achashenu kona b'amira tivatal v'divatal. Wait a second, so what? So he didn't make a kinyan. If he doesn't make a kinyan because he loses it before he has a chance to make a kinyan, so what? What's the end? It's not the end of the world. You made a kinyan, not good, and if you didn't make a kinyan, so then Yerusha will take place. Why does it matter? So the Lishna Achrinim Farshino Nisa Vinir Be'enai says, no, you know what I think it means, Shema Titrof Daito? The Lahachi Tikun Rabbanu She Yiknu Dvarav Ba'amira She Me'in Dvarav Niknu Chayshino Shema Titrof Daito B'cholyo Mitok Tsar Shu Yodeh Shalom Mekayim U'banam Tzava Aso. That the Rabbanu made a special din that his Amira should be good enough. Why did they make such a din? Because they were afraid that if he knows whatever he says no one's going to listen to anyway, it's going to get him sicker and make him die sooner. He's already dying. And if he thinks, whatever I say now, no one's going to listen to anyway, it doesn't matter, so then he's going to die sooner. So in order to give him a little extra koach, they said, don't worry, you have the ability through your dibur alone to make kinyanim. That you don't even need a formal act of kinyan. And that way, hopefully, he'll have a peace of mind to know that everything's okay, and that way, hopefully, he won't die as quickly. So that's Shema Titrof Daito Olav. That's, I think, the Pashup Shah, what we normally say, Shema Titrof Daito Olav. Says the Gemara, Mi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman really hold this way? V'Amar Rav Nachman Nafal Gav Damar Shmuel Mokhe Shtarchal V'Chaver V'Chazor Machol Machol V'Afili Yori Shmochel. Shmuel says that if a person sells a shtar chov to his friend, Reuven owes me money. So I go to Shimon and I say, look, I have a shtar that says that Reuven owes me money. It says Reuven owes me $100. It's due in a month from now. I'll sell you the shtar for $50. Shimon says, sure, no problem. It's worth a $50 investment. I'll get the $100 in 30 days. Shimon pays me $50 for the shtar. Then I go over to Reuven and I say, I'm mochel you the $100 that you owe me. You don't owe them to me anymore. So does that work? On Shimon's cheshbon, am I allowed to be mochel? So says Shmuel, yes, I can be mochel. And not only that, even a yoresh can be mochel. Modesh Shmuel, but Shmuel's modesh shem nasu matna shchiv mira deinu yachol mochel. That if I gave it as a matna shchiv mira to somebody, then it can't be mochel. Then I don't have the power to be mochel. So I'm a pishlama da oraisa mishum hachi enu yachol limchel. If your matna shchiv mira has the power of a da oraisa, of a kinyan da oraisa, so then I understand why we're not going to allow you to be mochel. Eli I'm a terabbanon hi am I enu yachol limchel. But if the whole concept of matna shchiv mira is only terabbanon anyway, well, then why can't I be mochel? Says the Gemara, it's drabanan, eino shel Torah, va'asu u'akish shel Torah. It's not a daraisa, but we make it like a Doraisa. They give it the koach of a Doraisa, even though it's not really a Doraisa. This idea that I can go and I could just be mochel, isn't that a horrible thing to do? Right? That someone owes me money, I sell the shtar to a third party, and I say, look, give me $50, you'll have this shtar that says someone owes you $100. Then I'm going to go back to the first person and say, I'm mochel the $100. So says Rashbam, yes, it is a horrible thing to do, but it still works, it's effective. Third wide line of Rashbam, umihu ma'osub yachzir lo mochel lokeach. Meaning when it's effective in the sense that Ruvay no longer owes me the $100, but I owe Shimon the $50 that he paid me for the shtar. I have to reimburse him, because he paid me $50 not to get zero. So when I'm mochel, I got to pay him back. That's what we call garmi. Meaning garmi is when I cause indirect damage. I caused indirect damage to Shimon by being mochel, and therefore I have to pay him back. It's just like I take someone else's shtaros and I burn them. So I'll say, what? It was a piece of paper. It's worth a penny. Here's a penny. No, that's Dina de Garmi. Because he doesn't have those shtaros, he's not going to be able to collect the money that it says in those shtaros. That piece of paper was a check. It was a check for $1,000. So now I owe him $1,000. So the same over here. When I go and I'm mochel the chov, so I'm going to have to reimburse him. I'll have to reimburse him for whatever he paid me for that shtar. It is a discussion, though, in the Tosos over here. How much do I reimburse him? Rashbam said I reimbursed him the $50 he paid me. So Tosos, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe I should reimburse them the whole $100 that the shtar was worth to him. Right? By Sarif Sharosov Shtel Chaver, when I burn the guy's check, I have to reimburse the whole $1,000. So that's this long Tosos over here. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow if we have a chance. If there's not much else to say on tomorrow's daf, we'll see. Okay.